بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم یا ایها الذین آمنوا اتقوا اللہ وکونوا مع الصادقین صدق اللہ العظیم. Respected brothers and elders and our mothers listening over the receiver, is only to the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala made it possible for us to listen to the Taraweeh Salah. May Allah accept the Taraweeh that is recited by our Hufaz Ikram and Ulama. And of course we make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala made it possible for us to go to Haramain Sharifain. May Allah Ta'ala accept our Umrah and Ziyarah. Alhamdulillah. May a lot of dua for every single one of you, especially the Musallis of this Masjid. Allah Ta'ala must accept these duas. We are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. When you go to those Mubarak places, there are so many lessons a person learns. He teaches us. Sometimes at home we feel that we are very pious, we are very learned. But when you see different types of people, different nationalities, different races, different colors, each person is dedicated, each person is crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes outwardly a person, for you and I, he may not be a very pious person, but you see him making tawaf, you see him alone in one corner of the haram and he's tearing, crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You wish you could be included in his duas. And then of course you see the generosity, especially the time of iftar. There is no iftar like the iftar of Madina Munawwara. You hardly even enter the courtyard of the masjid and people come right out grabbing your hand and pleading to you. They don't even know you and they're not expecting any favor from you. They don't even ask you what's your name and from where you come. But they do. They have such big hearts. They grab your hand right from outside and they plead that you must sit on their dasarkhan. And the dasarkhan of the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can't describe. The dates, the bread, the yogurt, and all this thing Allah Ta'ala has provided for so many thousands of people. And how beautifully it is done. We can't hear a single sound whilst the iftar is taking place. And immediately after that, so quickly it is, the entire place is cleared. And it is clean, it is spotless once again. We look at those workers from Pakistan, India, Bangladesh and other countries, Indonesia. Really your heart cries out to them. I used to make dua every day when I see those people vacuuming the carpets, the musallas of the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Cleaning and happily. The maqsad is not money, they're not getting big wages or salary there. But just to be in Madina Munawwara. And you see these same workers, even some of the hotel workers, you will see them at night, whenever they are free, engaged in tilawat of the Quran, crying, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, standing in front of the Rawza Mubarak, making tawaf of the Kaaba. So this shows that these are sincere people, and these are lessons for us to learn. Allah Ta'ala give us that type of sincerity. These are chosen people. They are clearing the masjid of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How lucky they are, how lucky they are. Like that there are so many other lessons we learn. But we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah accept our umrah and take all of us again and again with afiyat and sihat, and Allah must accept us. Now we just give a synopsis of tonight's Taraweeh. It's a Saturday night. And inshallah, we make a little bit of sabr. Alhamdulillah, Murana has been giving talks after every night after Taraweeh. May Allah Ta'ala accept his efforts and Murana Shabir Asmal and all the adu hufaz and ulama. The truth is that I am absolutely incompetent, incapable. I'm not saying this just out of the sun. This is the truth, the reality. But because the responsibility is on our shoulders, therefore, whatever we can do, we will try, inshallah. We heard the last part of Surah Tawbah today. And there is a beautiful incident which is mentioned in the Sirah kitabs, we have heard many times, in the books of hadith it is mentioned, regarding those three sahaba who did not participate in the battle of Tabuk. Now we're not going to go into the details, but the battle of Tabuk, the expedition of Tabuk, was an expedition against the Romans. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told the sahaba prior to them departing to collect whatever monies they could contribute, whatever food they had. So sahaba brought various things. And this was that time when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq or Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu brought exactly half of his possessions. And he really felt that today he would outdo Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, because exactly half of his belongings, he comes and presents it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when it is his turn, so then Rasulullah sallallahu asked him, what did you bring? He said, I have brought every single belonging of mine. So what have you left behind? He said, I have left Allah and His Rasul behind at home. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu realized that he could never supersede Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu brought 1,000 coins, gold coins. Rasulullah became very happy. Then he goes back, he brings another sack of 1,000 gold coins. And then again he brings another 1,000. If I can remember clearly. Rasulullah takes his gold coins from one hand, puts it onto the other hand, and he says, Ma dharra Uthman ma amila ba'd hada. If Sayyidina, if Uthman does not have to make any mu'amal now, nothing in his life, no more good deeds, it will not harm him. Because Allah has accepted this contribution of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala so much, that all his sins are forgiven. And even if he has to commit any sins, those sins will also be forgiven. Like that sahaba brought various, or they contributed very generously. There was one sahabi who could not find much. He was a poor sahabi. All he could bring was some dates. So the munafiqeen began to taunt and laugh and say, this, you could only find dates to bring. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard of this. In fact, Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran, and Rasulullah then places this dates, this khajur, on the top of the heap or the pile. Like how we see this is the cherry on the top. To honor this sahabi, that this is also accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all he could afford. But in the eyes of Allah, this was very a great contribution. So Rasulullah s.a.w. and the sahaba, they made preparations, they got the conveyances, and they departed. Now it was the custom that and habit that after Rasulullah would come back from any jihad or expedition, he will go to the masjid, read 2 rakat salat, and those people who did not participate in that particular expedition or battle, they would come and give the excuses. Rasulullah would listen to the excuses, and then he would make dua for the istighfar on their behalf. So like that, on that particular occasion, when Rasulullah comes back, Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu anhu was amongst those who did not participate. Ka'ab bin Malik, Hilal bin Umayyah radiallahu anhu, and Murara radiallahu anhu. These three sahaba had no real excuse. There were others who were sick. They could not go. They came and gave the excuses. There were the munafiqeen who also gave the feeble excuses. Rasulullah makes istighfar on all of these people's behalf. When Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu anhu comes, Rasulullah looks at him, tabassuma, tabassuma al-mughdab, like a person who's a bit unhappy, displeased. He smiles at him, but smiles, we see a half smile, looks at him, knows, Ka'ab, what is the matter? Why didn't you come? Rasulullah didn't reprimand him. He asked Ka'ab, what is your excuse? He said, I've got no excuse. He spoke the truth. Prior to that, the thoughts ran through his mind. Should I make the same excuses others made and they were pardoned? Then he felt, no, I cannot lie to Rasulullah. So he spoke the truth, I've got no excuse. And the other two also had mentioned that they had no excuse. When they said this, Rasulullah then said, then let Allah decide with you all. And I cannot make any decision. I have to wait for whatever hukam Allah Ta'ala gives. It's a long story. Allah Ta'ala then commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Sahaba to actually boycott these three Sahaba. The Quran mentions وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا, and these three people whose tawbah, khullifu here means that their tawbah was delayed. It was kept back. It was not accepted. They had to go through a tarbiyat process now. Islah was taking place. You had no valid excuse. Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu anhu says, Badr, I did not participate because Badr was not compulsory. It took place suddenly. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba who are around him that there's a caravan of Abu Sufyan. We're going to plunder that and attack that caravan. So those of you who are ready, come. So it was not fard and compulsory on the other Sahaba, on every person. So those who went, they were lucky, they were fortunate. But Uhud, Ka'ab bin Malik says, I was there, and all the other battles. And he says, in the time of Tabuk, I was extremely strong physically. I had all the strength. I had all the possessions. I had everything. But I delayed in my preparation. I said, okay, every morning I set out that today I'll do some preparations for this expedition. But the whole day will just go past. I'll come back in the night and I'll say, oh, I did nothing. Tomorrow I'll go and make some preparations. Until he says the day came when Rasulullah and the Sahaba left. So then I said, okay, I'll catch them tomorrow. Procrastinated until Rasulullah comes back. Now the lesson for us is, when we have the chance, like the month of Ramadan, we should not delay, we should not procrastinate. The whole month will go by, past, so almost 10 days will almost be gone now. And the month will go by very, very rapidly. And then it's already Eid, and then we begin to scratch our head. And then you see, if and only we did this and only we did that, when all the others are collecting their prizes by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we've got nothing. So these are lessons. So any chance we get, opportunity, you've got the means, there's no rukawa, there's no impediments for me, you making your hajj, everything is there. So perform your hajj if you haven't made your hajj. You've got your zakat that has become wajib upon you. Don't delay in paying your zakat. So like this, there are so many things that apply to us as well. Nonetheless, Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu anhu says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not to even talk to us. Imagine. Ka'ab says, I come in the masjid. Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. I wait to hear. Can I hear some jawab coming also? Is Rasulullah replying to my greeting or not? I could see him moving his lips, but I could not hear any voice. Could not hear any sound. He says, but then the moment I start my salat, I could feel, I could see that Rasulullah is gazing and looking at me. That was permissible for him to do. This is Rahmatul Alameen. He couldn't see his Sahabi in that condition. So where he could look and glance at his Sahabi, while the Sahabi was engaged in salat, Rasulullah looked at him, full gaze he would give him. But the moment Ka'ab will look after the salat, look again, then Rasulullah will put his face down again. Rasulullah was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do so. Why? Because Ka'ab bin Malik had no legitimate excuse to participate in Tabuk. And of course Tabuk, when they went, it was extremely hot, very, very hot. They had to fight the Romans, but no war took place. The Romans, they escaped. It was during that time, one Sahabi says, Allah had given me plentiful. It was time, the fruit were ripe, the dates were ripe, it was ready for harvesting. So he said, I went to my orchard, beautiful stream, river running. I've got this nice dates all plucked in a basket. My wife is sitting next to me. And I'm about to enjoy the breeze and the stream running and the dates, absolutely ripe dates. And the thought comes to me that you are in this condition when your Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the other Sahaba, they're in the heat and they are fighting the enemy. He says, I left everything and I immediately jumped onto my horse and he proceeded to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From a distance, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he cannot see which Sahaba it is, but he expresses a wish, a desire. Kun Aba Khaythama. Oh Allah, let it be Abu Khaythama. Fakana Aba Khaythama. It happened to be the same Sahabi, the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sees Abu Khaythama coming, he becomes extremely happy. But these three, Ka'ab bin Malik, Murara and Hilal, they were told now The Sahaba were commanded, nobody must talk to them. They say, حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. Despite the earth being so vast, the gullies of Medina being vast, the roads were not narrow, they were wide. But it seemed to them that these gullies had narrowed upon them. The streets became tight upon them. Why? As they were walking, and somebody else coming from the other side, they would turn their glance away, turn away from them. Nobody is talking to them. Command comes to them now that you must even leave your wives also. You can't even be with your own wives. One of them was elderly, although he had the strength to participate, but he needed the assistance of his wife for some khidmat, so he was given permission. And in the meantime, when Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala is being boycotted by Rasulullah and the Sahaba, he says, the king of Ghassan sends his messenger with a letter to me. When this letter reaches me, I look at it, and I see that this king of Ghassan, who was a disbeliever, he invites me to come to his land. And he says, see what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done to you. You are being ostracized. And look how you are being treated. Why don't you come away over to our place? We'll look after you and you can denounce your faith. He says, this is another fitna, another test that is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one I failed. This is the second test coming. He takes the letter, he goes to a fire and he throws it in and he burns it. And then the command comes that now he must leave his home. 40 days or plus minus 40 days go by. He's now away from everybody else. And he's got a cousin of his who is very close to a very dear friend of his. So Ka'b radiallahu anhu says, I climb the wall and I look at my cousin and say, that, don't you know that I have made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or don't you know that I love Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Cousin not replying. He pleads and he begs him, don't you know that I love Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This cousin of his, all he said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu alam, Allah and His Rasul know best. He says, then I was shattered. Now nobody would believe that I love Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, finally one day after Fajr I had made my salat on the rooftop, when suddenly I see a rider coming towards me, and another person who climbs a mountain top, and he screams and he shouts that, oh Ka'b, abshir, abshir, Allah has pardoned you, Allah has forgiven you. He says, the moment I hear this, I go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who embraces me, and he says, Allah has forgiven you and your two companions. So this was, in brief, this ayah that we read tonight. وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رُحُبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. They believe that there was no escape, no refuge from Allah except towards Him. Now this is an important lesson in our life. We read also about Yunus alayhi salatu salam, the entire surah was surah Yunus, where Yunus alayhi salatu salam preached to his people and they did not accept his message. Finally, he abandons his people without Allah commanding him to do so. In other words, he did not take any permission from Allah, and on his own will, he left the people of Ninwa and he boarded the ship, and we know the entire story. There was a storm, it was going to sink, and they realized there's one person amidst us who has run away from his master. He says, it cannot be Yunus alayhi salatu salam. He said, no, it is me. He said, no, we'll draw lots. And each time his name comes out, finally he jumps off the ship. And we know that a huge fish then swallows Yunus alayhi salatu salam. And he's in the darkness of the sea, darkness of the belly of the fish, in the darkness of the night. Fi zulumatin salath. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires him. What does he say? La ilaha illa anta subhanaka. That there is no deity that is worthy of being worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dua is known as da'watu dhin noon. The dua of the person of the fish, that is Yunus alayhi salatu salam. It is extremely powerful, extremely beneficial for those people who are suffering depression or any distress, or any worry, any grief, any sorrow. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Read this in abundance. Whenever you face with any distress, any calamity, any musibah, whatever it may be, it comes in the books of hadith that this is the dua of Yunus alayhi salatu salam, and Allah Ta'ala accepts the person's dua when he makes such a dua. Like that, there are so many. Every ayat is so beautiful and requires explanation. Just one more ayat and we'll terminate, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the surah Yunus, Wallahu yada'u ila dari salam. This is an invitation, a da'wat. Somebody gives us a da'wat, a very prominent person, the king or the president of the country, will say, hey, the president gave me da'wat. He gave me invitation. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, who created dunya, who created akhirat, who created jannat, Allah is giving us the da'wat. Allah says, Wallahu yada'u. Allah is inviting ila dari salam, towards the house of peace, referring to jannat. In jannat, there's only peace. There's no fighting, there's no quarreling, there's no killing, there's no murder, there's no working, there's no toiling, there's no labor, there's no punishment. There's only peace, aram, comfort, pleasure, happiness, bliss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us to this house of peace. وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And Allah guides whomsoever He wishes towards a straight path. صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Every single day in our salat, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Allah show us the صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Show us the straight path. So Allah is saying, Allah informs us that Allah guides whomsoever He wishes towards that صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً. Those who do good deeds, believers who do good deeds, for them there are two benefits, two blessings. One is al-husna. Husna means, mufassirin say, this is referring to jannat. So those who do good deeds, they will get jannat. Waziyada, and something extra. What is this extra? The person in jannat, he will get the bounties of jannat. But the extra one is referred to here in this verse, according to many mufassirin, this is looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the inmates of Jannat will get that opportunity of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَرْحَقُوا وُجُوهَهُمْ قَطَرُوا وَلَا ذِلَّةِ. Darkness and humiliation, disgrace will not cover their faces. These are people of Jannat. They will remain in Jannat forever and ever. And the opposite, those who earn bad deeds, those who do bad deeds, then they will be punished in a bad way. Person who does bad, you don't expect somebody now to give him some gift. He has done evil, so he will be given an evil punishment, and he will be disgraced. Zillat, humiliation will envelop him. مَا لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ عَاصِمٍ. From Allah's punishment, there will be no protector, nobody to save. Now people ask, why punishment, why punishment? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we mentioned so many times, Allah does not wish to punish any one of us. But when Allah has given us guidelines, Allah has sent down this Quran in the verses that we recited tonight, the beginning of Surah Yunus also, and in other verses, Allah talks about the glory of His Quran and how great and how noble this Quran Majeed is. Allah puts a challenge, three challenges to the disbelievers. In Surah Baqarah, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ. Produce a Quran like this. فَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِهِ. If you can't produce a Quran like this, then 10 surahs, try and produce verses that are equivalent to 10 surahs of the Quran. And if you can't do that, then even one surah of the Quran. Come and produce one surah like the Quran Majeed. Impossible. Nobody has done it. Nobody will ever be able to produce any verse, any surah like that of the Quran Majeed. The eloquence, the rhythm, the theme, the words, the message, it can never be compared. This is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ عَاصِمٍ. There's no protector from Allah's punishment. So Allah does not want to punish us. Allah loves us. Allah is talking in the tonight's verses So many verses. Inna Allah huwa tawwabur rahim. Allah is ready to accept our tawbah. Most forgiving, most merciful. Allah just wants us to change our direction. He is absolutely just. He gives us more than what we deserve. And He looks for every opportunity to forgive us when we do wrong. He gives us the bounties. We still don't appreciate His bounties. We still disobey Allah. And then we expect Allah not to punish us. If we have a worker, and we feed the worker, and we give the worker salary, and we give him bonus, and we give him so many fringe benefits, but we find that the worker never comes on time, he's absent most of the time, he doesn't do anything he is expected to do, he back answers us, he goes to the neighbor and helps the neighbor, doesn't help us, he's not on time, he's not doing his duty. So are we going to carry on feeding that person? Won't we become angry and upset? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not become upset so quickly. Allah loves us, and this we have mentioned again and again, and I will repeat it. Because many people feel that, why is Allah punishing? Why is Allah punishing? No. Allah is so fair. Allah is so loving. But if we are going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah gives us warnings. These are all warnings for us, so that we may take heed of this warning and quickly make tawbah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people, it is as though chunks of darkness will cover their faces. Ulaika ashabun nar. These are the inmates of Jahannam. Hum fiha khalidun. They will remain in there forever and ever. May Allah ta'ala save us from the fire of Jahannam. May Allah ta'ala give us Jannatul Firdaus. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا راحم المساكين ويا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حنان اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Ya Allah, make our eyes see your Kaaba again and again, my Allah. The Anwarat, the Jalihat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, of Haramain Sharifain, Ya Allah, and standing before the Rosa of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, accept our Umrah and Ziyarah, Ya Allah. Those who have not been there for Hajj, Ya Allah, and Umrah, take them again and again, Ya Allah. Make it be possible for them, Ya Allah. You create the means, my Allah. Oh, my Allah, forgive us, my Allah. Ya Allah, we are asking you for forgiveness, may Allah. You are so kind, you are so loving, may Allah. You have given us this beautiful month of Ramadan, may Allah. Ya Allah, the days that have gone, they are gone, may Allah. Forgive us for all our shortcomings, Ya Allah. Give us a tawfiq, Ya Allah. Give us that ability, Ya Allah, to do good deeds, to obey you, may Allah. Ya Allah, love us, may Allah. Ya Allah, love us, may Allah. Ya Allah, we love you, may Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah, for being disobedient servants, may Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your nur, may Allah. Give us the taqwa, Ya Allah. Give us taqwa, give us istiqamat on deen, may Allah. Give us sirat mustaqim, Ya Allah. Show us the right path, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are struggling, may Allah. Hold us by our hands, and Ya Allah, put us onto sirat mustaqim, right till we leave this world, may Allah. Ya Allah, make us maqbooleen bandas, may Allah. Ya Allah, make us those who are your close ones, Ya Allah. Your muqarrabeen, may Allah. Oh, may Allah give us the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Give us afiyat, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection, your ma'rifat, your qurb, yaqeen, your dhat. Give us halal, rozi, give us barakat in our rizq, our ilm, our amal, in our families, may Allah. Remove all our parishanis, may Allah. Remove the difficulties of the ummat of Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, so many people. Ya Allah, there are wars taking place, they're being mercilessly killed, Ya Allah, by zalimeen, by tughat, by oppressive rulers, my Allah. Oh, my Allah. Oh, so many in Syria, Ya Allah. Every single day they are being killed, Ya Allah. Oh, my Allah. Give them aman, Ya Allah. Give them peace, my Allah. Remove those evil rulers, my Allah. Ya Allah. So many other places in Palestine, my Allah, in Afghanistan, and so many other areas, Ya Allah, in Burma, my Allah. Ya Allah, so many of them. What type of Ramadan they are going to enjoy, my Allah? Ya Allah, you have given us every luxury and comfort in this country, my Allah. We make shukr to you, Ya Allah. We're making so much shukr, Ya Allah, that you give us iman, my Allah. Ya Allah, if you did not give us iman, then we wouldn't have a Ramadan, my Allah. Oh, my Allah, Give us a beautiful remaining Ramadan, may Allah. Accept us, may Allah. Accept our fast, accept our tarawih, our dhikr, our tilawat. Give us, ya Allah, more and more chances, ya Allah, to increase our tilawat, ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are sick and ailing, give them complete shifa'i kamil, ahadil, mustaqir, daim. Those who have left this world, ya Allah, our mashayikh, ulama, our friends, our relatives, ya Allah, our family members, ya Allah, our musallis, ya Allah. Give them jannatul firdaus, may Allah. Give them a'la illiyin, may Allah. Give the family sabr jameel. Ya Allah, whatever jais, duas, muraz, intentions, ya Allah, desires our brothers have tonight, may Allah. And our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver. Ya Allah, you are well aware of each person's hajat, may Allah. Fulfill each person's need, may Allah. Each and every one of them, may Allah. اللهم كاشف الغم مفرج الهم مجيب دعوة المضطرين إذا دعوك رحمن الدنيا والآخرة ورحيمهما فارحمنا في حاجاتنا كلها بقضائها ونجاعها رحمة تغنينا بها عن رحمة من سواك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا الله give us إخلاص يا الله يا الله give us إخلاص يا الله protect us from shawm يا الله Ya Allah, make our tongues moist with your dhikr and tilawat of the Quran, Ya Allah. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.